Today's daf is daf kuf yud, and we're holding on daf kuf tes amud beis, right at the bottom with the word tashma, the last line. Now, you will remember that we were in the middle of a machlokas abaye v'rova, as to what the halacha is when somebody has a mashkan on mashkanta, basically on a kerem, what the din is after the kerem is no longer producing. So according to Abaye, the wood itself is considered to be the equivalent of peirot, and therefore the lender can take the wood. According to Rava, the wood has a din of the kerem, and therefore there's no way that the lender can take it. Instead, what we have to do is we sell it, use the proceeds to buy a producing thing. We buy some land, and then out of that land, there the lender takes the peirot of that land. But he certainly cannot use up the principal itself. So in the kerem, according to Rava, the wood is the principal. Asks the Gemara now, Tashma. Let's see if we can bring a raya from here. Naflu la gifanim v'zeitim zekinim. Suppose a woman, after she gets married, inherits some old vines and old olive trees. And now, normally the din is that a husband would take a Yerusha as Nichsei Melug. Nichsei Melug gives the keren to the woman and the peirot to the Baal. In this case, unfortunately, because there's skenim, they're not producing. What do we do? Yimachru le'etzim. So what we should do is we should sell them for the value of the wood, because they're no longer producing sufficient to be kedai. V'yilakach behem karka. Now buy property with it, and then from the property, the Baal could be ochel peirot, and the woman gets to keep permanently, as her nichsei melug, the karka itself. Now this proves rather clearly that dried out vines or dried out olive trees are considered to be not peirot, and therefore the Baal cannot take them. So how does Abaye justify his opinion that it's considered to be peirot? Answers the Gemara, it's not talking about over here that she inherited when they were old and not producing. Ema, it's talking about over here where he's kinu. It's talking about she inherited them while they were still making peirot. And now they indeed became old before their time. And as we said yesterday, Abaye is meida when something is supposed to be producing and hasn't now reached the end of its normal lifetime, the vine, that in that case we don't consider it to be the peirot. Here he's also meida to Rava. Furthermore, we could say, did we not explain that Mishnah in Ketubot as talking about it's talking about over here that the vines or the trees, the olive trees, were in a field that did not belong to her, and the only inheritance that she had wasn't the land, it was the tree itself. Where over there, if the husband takes the wood, that's all that she has there. Clearly, it's called Mechal Yakarna. There he's using up the principle. And that's why it says, of course, even according to Abaye, that she can't take the wood itself, because then she'll be left with nothing. The only time that Abaye was talking about taking the wood is where there is karka that is owned by the person, and now the wood, relative to the karka, is considered to be peirot. But in this case, the wood is all there is, and therefore there's no tzad that the Baal should be allowed to take them. Ahish Torah, there was now a mashkanta. We're talking about, remember, mashkanta desura. A mashkanta desura is a type of loan in which the lender continues to use the producing property until the loan is actually paid off. So they write up a certain number of years of usage, and that extends now to the point where he's gotten back the money that he lent, and you'll recall that this was a way, actually, of justifying rebate, but since it was done in this fashion, it's not now viewed as rebit mamash, that we were matir, and it said in it avikativ beshnin stoma. It had the normal nusa in which it would say lusov shnin x tachzor hakarka lebaaleha, and then the chov will be paid off. But over here, it didn't say what the x was. It just said, and at the end of those years, nobody knew how many the years were. It was a rather useless shtar. And they argued about it. The Malve claimed that actually the Mashkon was supposed to carry on for 3 years, and he still gets another year. Whereas the borrower claimed that it was only a 2-year Mashkanta Desura. And what happened here was that the Malve came before the court decided, and he went ahead and collected the peirot of that 3rd year before there was the court session. So, Achlinu, Kodim Malve, Achlinu Leperi. So in this case, of course, it's complicated by the fact that now he's mufzik on the pirot. We're trying to be motzi from him. So mi ne'aman? In this case, who would we believe? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, well, the karka is becheskat ba'alei ha'kayma. The karka itself is still in the chazaka of the love, because he is the owner, and therefore, since the malva cannot prove that he was the one that was supposed to be eating the pirot, he'll have to pay for pirot until he can prove that they actually were meant to go for 3 years. Whereas Rav Kahana Amar, pirot becheskat ochleim kayma. The pirot themselves are in the chazaka of the malva who took them. And in here we would say, Amotzi mechaveru, olavaraya, if he wants to get the malva to pay, then he'll have to prove that the deal was only for 2 years and not for three. And says the Gemara, indeed, hilchot hakavati Rav Kahana, we pass him like Rav Kahana, who says, pirot becheskat ochlehen. And therefore the malva is potter from paying. But, says the Gemara, is that possible? V'kaim lan hilchot hakavati d'Rav Nachman. Do we not generally paskin in the same idea, because always we paskin like Reb Nachman, who is a Dayana and Dine Momenes, and Reb Nachman says, the Omar, he said that the halacha is, and it was the case, if you recall, somebody had rented a bathhouse, and he had rented it for 12 golden sloyim for a year, specifying one gold dinar for a month. And the year was now turned out to be a Shana Mu'uberet, which they made it 13 months, and the suffolk was over there whether he has to pay 13 dinarim, since he said dinner per month, or whether since he said 12 per year, he only pays 12. So over there, halacha is that even though the lender is coming after he already ate it, in other words, at the end of the month, the 13th month, he would still have to pay 13 dinar. And over there, Reb Nachman paskens, it's because the karka is becheskat ba'aleha omedet. Since over here we're talking about real estate, the real estate is owned by the owner, and if he now came to eat it, so to speak, by using it for that extra month, so then he is going to have to pay. So why here should we be paskens like Rav Kahana, who says that in the equivalent case where he ate it, so to speak, that now it's going to be a motzi mechaveru lo avaraya? Answers the Gemara, because hatam, in the case of the rental, it's a milta de lo avida legiluyehu. Over there, the question was what the meaning of the agreement is. Not what the agreement was, but what do we look at when you make an agreement for 12 per year, one per month? Is the Iker agreement that was tfos loshon rishon, 12 per year, which would cover 13 months, or one per month, which would require an additional dinner for the extra month? That is a type of suffix that is not a quality in the realities. It's a theoretical issue. So it's a milta de lo avida legluy. There's no way for us to ever be mavara that suffix. There's just two opinions. So we have a sveika in Dina. Masha Einkein over here, where we're talking about the mashkanta hocha, it's a milta davida legluyehu. It's open to rayot. Bring the shtar. Bring witnesses. It's not that it's not possible to know. And therefore, atruchi bedina trezim lo metarchinat. We don't call a court into session in a case where if, let's say, we would come along now and expect the malva to pay, and then he would be able to now bring a raya, we'd have to call him back into session, sue again, to get the money back away from the lova. So that instead what we do is, we don't act until somebody brings proof. So therefore, this is not similar to the other case of Reb Nachman. Now, how about in a case where we have a similar issue, a malva ate from the year, a mashkanta de surah, we don't have a shtar, and there was a machlokas? In that case, it was the malva who claimed that the mashkanta went on for chomesh, and the lova claimed that it went on for three. So the lova says to the malva, look, if you claim it's 5 years, show me your shtar. Aite li shtarcha. You know that there was a shtar. So the malva says, Amale shtar irchasli. I lost my shtar. Omer of Yehuda, in this case, the malva is believed to say that he actually did have a 5-year mortgage. Why? Because he could have claimed that he bought it. That's why this case is different from the other case by definition, because once you go beyond 3 years, now you have a right to say Yerkes Lishtara, and unless the other person had been Meicha, you could always claim you bought it. So this gives him now a migu that didn't exist in the previous case. So this is not a simple repetition. It introduces a whole new issue. Because of that, says Rav Yehuda, the Malva would certainly be believed, because Migu, the boy Omar Lekochai Biyadi, he could always say, look, I bought it. And then he would have a chazaka, because after 3 years, he doesn't have to present a shtar, because he could say, nobody complained. It never occurred to me someone would claim that this was a mashkanta when I bought it outright. Omalei Rav Papa Rav Ashi, so Rav Papa said to Rav Ashi that Rav Zvid and Rav Avira actually did not paskin like Rav Yehuda, lo svir lo ad Rav Yehuda, and they said the Malva is not believed with this kind of migu. Why? My timer, why is he not believed? Because in this case, it appears clear that he is a phony. Because Haishtora, the shtar of a mashkanta, kivan de leguvaino koi, the point of that shtar is using it for payment. In this case, the payment, of course, being the eating of the perot. But this is not a shtar of a raya. This is a shtar of collection. There's a big difference. In a shtar of a raya that I bought something, I'm not coming to collect anything, you don't have to keep it. But over here, why in the world was the shtar lost? Something that is not nogea anymore. Because after 3 years, it just got lost in my files. I wasn't going to use it. I never intended to present it to court. So fine, it happens. It's misplaced. But a shtar that I'm waiting to collect with is never misplaced. Therefore, mizas yerebe, the person does not let it lie around loosely. He keeps it in a safe deposit box. Therefore, it seems clear from the situation that Michbashu the Kavshila Shtar, the guy is keeping the shtar hidden because he doesn't want us to know what it says. And therefore, Sovar Ochlim Tartin Shninya Terata, he figures, why not get another 2 years out of my mashkanta? So because of that, we don't have the right to say irchasli. It's prima facie weird that is he doesn't have a shtar. Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, let me ask you something else. I mean, according to Rav Yehuda, that the malva is believed with amigo to say lekucha, so elamiata, a normal mashkanta de surah, where in the mashkanta de surah, the standard language reads like this. Bin mishlim shenaya ilein, at the end of these X number of years, Tepuk Aradabalo Kesev, this land is meant to be returned without any further payments due. So Hekha the Kavshi Lashtar Mashkanta, the Omala Kukhari Biyadi, Achinami de Mehema, are you claiming that Enoch Hinami had, he said, the Kukahu Biyadi, that he could have? In other words, what you're saying is that the Rabbonim were metaking a mashkanta, the surah, in a way that anybody is going to be out of his land if the other person's a Ramah. So, v'chi metaking Rabbonim milta da hatibali de pseda. What do you hold over here? That a person is going to get into a deal that the Rabbonim were initially metaking to lose his field if the other guy's a Ramah. How does that work? Amale said, Ravashi, hatam. The mashkanta de surah, takin le rabbonin, the mori ara yoiv taska. There's a separate takona. The takona is that the owner pays property tax. Specifically, since the owner is paying the property tax, and also the chori charya, it is also up to the owner, who is the borrower, not the lender, to take care of the drainage of the field. Then that becomes the clearest proof that it's his field. He doesn't need to do a mechoa. And therefore, he avoids this problem of anybody ever claiming that it's lukachavi biadi. The case over there was Rav Yehuda said he had a migu because the guy didn't pay his taxes and because he didn't repair the field properly. That's what got him into trouble. But had he kept the original takonat rabbanan and done it legally, there would have been no question at all. Ella, so then ask the Gemara, and what would you do in a case of arda letle karya? How about land that doesn't require drainage around it? How about land that doesn't have property taxes? I mean, it's not universal. Sid Rabbonim were metakein something that doesn't apply in all locations. So velo yaif taska mai, what are you going to do over there? How did the Rabbonim assure that in a mashkanta de surah, a guy doesn't end up losing his field? Bamalei said, Rav Ashi, iboilin lemechuyin, inochinani. In those cases, then it's no different than any other case where somebody has an opportunity to publicly claim this is his property anytime within 3 years and anytime within the next 3 years and so on. And that way, the other person has to keep the shtar. And if he doesn't have it, it becomes again prima facie a raya that boom, it's not his. Now, getting into the next case, where you have a similar machlokas with a sharecropper. So a sharecropper has been working a field. He now comes to claim his percentage. So Oris Amar, the sharecropper, claims that I entered into an agreement over here for 50%. So Lamechza Yoradati. The Baal HaBayit says, no, I gave you 33 1/3%. Lashlish Oradati. Mi Ne'eman. How about in that case? You see that this also encroaches on the previous issue. That's considered to be Becheskas Mi. Becheskas Hoyen. Rav Yehuda Amar. Baal HaBayit Ne'eman, and the Oris only could take a shlish. Rav Nachman says, Hakol kimin haga medina. We should assume, we're going to see in a moment what the Svara is now, Rav Yehuda, but we're assuming right now that the idea over here would be that the minhag was koveya, and that there's really no machlokas over mine. The Talmidim believe that actually lo plike. There was no argument between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. One was talking about Habat the Shakel Arisa Palga. Rav Nachman was saying, look, Akokam and Amgadina, the norm is 50%, and therefore we don't say the Baal HaBayit is Ne'eman. And Rav Yehuda was talking about Be'at the Shakel Arisa Tilta, and therefore the Baal HaBayit is Ne'eman. Not because of its relationship to the Chazaka. Omelo Rav Mori, brother Bat Shmuel, said Rav Mori, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, as we've had many times before, is because his father was not Jewish at the time that she was impregnated. He had been a kidnapper, who later on became a big Talmud Chacham and a ger. So over there, he said, Hoch Yom Rabbaye, Afilo Ba'atra, Teshek Larissa Palga Plige, it's not true. They are arguing even in a place where the norm would be that he takes half, and nonetheless, Rav Yehuda says that the Baal HaBayit is Ne'eman. So, Pligi Rav Yehuda Amar Baal HaBayit Ne'eman. Why? Because the Iboy Omar Skiriv Elikitehu. If he had wanted to lie, he has a Migo to say a much better lie. What does he have to say he's an Aris for? He could say, Aris? What Aris? I don't know what you're talking about. I hired you to work the land. I hired you to pick. You're a classical picker. You're going to get a salary. 10%. So, Lamaisa, that Migo, in this case, gives him Ne'emanut. Now, in another case, we also have similar issues. In this case, there were Yorshim, and a Baal Chov comes along to take it away from them. And they have an argument about how much the karka now changed in value because of investment after the loan was made, against which the lender from 10 years earlier doesn't have any claim. So the Yitomim say, look, we, from the time of the Yerusha, invested tons into this karka. It was worth maybe $1,000 an acre when we inherited. Now it's worth $10,000 an acre. So you could certainly not take more than your original lien, which was the equivalent, if it was 100 acres, it was $100,000. That's what you can get. The Baal Chov says, ridiculous. Avicha mishbiach otam. This was all from your father. You inherited all mishubach, and I have a lien against the whole thing. Al mila aviraya. So in this case, who needs to prove what the value was for the lien? Sover Rav Chanina lameimer, ara becheskat yat mekayme. So Rav Chanina held, look, the Yitomim basically are taking the place of the original owner. So in which case, they have a chazaka in the property. If somebody wants to take property away, so he needs to bring proof, right? So v'al Baal Chov l'aviraya, he has to prove that there was a lien for this shevach. So a certain Zakein said, no. In this case, ala yitomim aviraya. Why is that? My time up. Because the truth is, ara, given to the guvaina kaima, kamanda gavya danya. When you have a lien against property, it's as if you already have an ownership in it. It's as if it's collected. In which case, we don't view the karka as being in the cheskat hayatomim to say that amotzi mechavero olavaraya. And therefore, alayatomim lahaviraya. Because the din was that anyway, the Baal Chov takes the property. Even when there is Shevach, the only nafkamina would be, would have to pay the Shevach to the Yitomim, as we're going to see in a moment. And therefore, how can you say that he should be the one that has to bring a raya? They are actually trying to be Meitzi to Shevach from him. And therefore, it's not considered to be his need to bring a raya. Because that's always as we do collection, as we'll see. Rabbi Afana Nami Tanina. We also could see clearly in a Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan is right. Here the case was that you have a tree that is planted, and it's planted within 50 amot from a city. And the halacha is that you need to have, in any city, you need to have 25 amot that are grassland, that just allow the city to appear nicely on its own. So a normal tree is meant to be planted 25 amot away from the city to allow for grassland that's unobstructed and undamaged by tree droppings. And where you have very large trees, like a carob or sycamore, that have very long reaching branches, the takones, they're supposed to be 50 amot away from the city. There's also a shita, which is avashol shita, that any ilan has to be 50 amot from a city, because we need broader parklands, according to him. Now, in this case, what happened was that we had, indeed, in this Mishnah, an ilan that was within 50 amot, that the halacha is, if the city was there before the ilan, they have a right to cut it down. If the ilan came before the city, then it's still cut down. However, the city has to pay, because it was planted properly. If there's a suffix, which one was cut? So suffix zekadam, it's a suffix if the ilan came first. Suffix zekadam, a suffix if the city came first. There, kotseit, veinonotindamim, so the city cuts it down, because anyway it's meant to be cut down, one way or the other. And now you're trying to get the city to pay. But now, since there's a suffix if you're going to have to pay or not, the bala ilan is the one who's suing, he's going to have to be hamotzi mechavero, Alava Rayan, if he can't prove that he was there first, so then you don't have to pay. Now you see from there, Alma, you see from there that once things are going to be taken care of in a particular way, and it's a given. So Alma, Kivan de la Meketz Kami, no matter what's going to be, we're going to be cutting down this tree. So therefore, we tell the owner of the tree, it boils down to the issue of you needing to prove, not they needing to prove. Because if they needed to prove that they were there first in order to cut the tree, you're right. You could issue an order, a restraint order, until they prove. But you can't issue a restraint order, because anyway they have a right to cut it. So now the question is compensation. But for compensation, now you're the one who's claiming the compensation. So we see from there that since the din is a given that it's going to be cut, we're going to tell the owner of the tree, now you have to prove that you had a right to take it. So if that's the case, Hachanami, this shtar is given to the Guvaina Kaima. The shtar over here was meant to be collected. And it's going to be collected together with the Shevach. So it's Kaman de Gavya Dam. Now the question is, you have to show, but that Shevach we created, okay, prove it. If you prove it, I'll pay it back to you. So Nalia Tomim Lavi Raya. So they did. The continuation of the case was, they were able to prove that they had invested, and that they were Meshabeach the Kark, and now they want the money. So Rabbi Chanina held that if now he has to pay for the Shevach, he has to pay it in the land that was taken. He can't just pay them value in money, because now he took more than he was supposed to take. So ki misakinu ba'ara misakinu, he has to give them back exactly the land that he took, which was beyond the value of the Shevach. Velohi. However, he was wrong in that. Actually, he can pay them in cash for the Shevach. Bidami misakin and lu. Why? From the din of Reb Nachman. The Amr Reb Nachman, Amr Shmuel. Shlosha shamim lahem et ha-shevach, u'ma'alin otam bidamim. There are three cases where someone who has to pay Shevach, it's estimated now what it is. The assessor assesses what the additional value was in the karka, but they don't return the karka. They pay cash. And these are the three cases. Ve'iluhin. A bechor pays to a poshut. What happened over there? So let's say a bechor and a poshut. Now the bechor gets two-thirds, the poshut gets one-third, right? Because he gets double. So they inherit their father, and they invested before the chaluka. They invested in the estate. The bechor does not take pishnayim of an investment, obviously. He only takes things that were there at the moment of his father's death. So what he does is he does take pishnayim in the property. But whatever is assessed to have been additional value that accrued after the death of his father, he has to pay it back. But he pays it back in cash. He doesn't pay it back in the karka. A balchov and a ktuvat isha liyatomim. In a case where you have a balchov, so you have a lender over here who's going to be collecting from heirs a property that was leaned to him for the father in the father's lifetime. Or a woman who's collecting land that was meshubedet for her ketubah. And in both of these cases, this is all one now, one section of Reb Nachman, one set of Reb Nachman's din. In both of these cases, the Yatomim claim that they had been meshabeach the karka through investing in it. They back up their claim, and now we assess the additional value that the malva is taking that he shouldn't have been allowed to to take from them. Or he shouldn't have been allowed to take now from the Isha. The Isha, rather, shouldn't have been allowed to take from them. And they pay it back in cash, but not in the karka. And the third case is a Baal Chov, generally for buyers. So let's say a Baal Chov has a lien against the field, and now the lender sells the field. So the halacha is that he can recover the field. The lender, original lender, can take it away from the buyers. But suppose the buyers have invested in the field. He has no right to take their investment. But he does have a right to take all of the ground now, the real estate that was leaned to him, he takes. So now, if other people invested it, they get paid. They get paid in cash. So, Mamela, you see from that din of Rav Nachman that in all cases where you have a lien, you can begova your lien, and anything that you own is paid back in cash. And that proves now our idea we had before, that basically the karka is considered to be yours. And because of that, we can't force you to give away the karka that was yours. And anything that was invested in this karka, like in the case that we had before, that we don't say the karka is becheskas yasmi, because in fact he had a right to collect the entire karka and to pay back the yesomim, and therefore it's ala yetomim, lavi raya, exactly as we said before. Omer le Ravina lu Ravashi. So Ravina asked Ravashi about what Shmuel had said over here. Quote, it was Rav Nachman quoting Shmuel over here that said that the case is that a Baal Chov collects from a buyer the entire field, and just pays the buyer back. Are you trying to tell me, says Ravina, that Lameimer de Sava Shmuel, that Baal Chov pays Lelekuchot? Miitle Shvacha Lelokea? Does Shmuel indeed hold that if a lender is collecting from Lelekuchot's property, that he has to pay? V'omar Shmuel Baal Chov govet HaSheva? Does Shmuel hold all over that the Baal Chov collects the Shevach too, and does not even pay it back to Lekuchot, and they have to go and recover it from the original borrower, because they have where to get it from. Now, this wouldn't be true about Yetomim. He's not asking the case of Yetomim. Yetomim have nowhere to get it from. But since Lekuchot are really dependent on the guarantee that they have from the original seller, it's the seller who's taking responsibility for the whole piece of property. And therefore, to make it easier for a lender to recover his loan, we allow him to collect together with the Shevach, and if that does not equal his loan, let them go back to the lender, to the borrower, and recoup it from the borrower. And the lender doesn't have to go back, because that's part of his shibud, and that's part of the guarantee of the seller, who is in this case the borrower, to the buyer. So why are you telling me that Shmuel Paskin over here, the way Rav Nachman was quoting you, that the lender pays back in cash? The lender doesn't pay back a penny. Not in cash and not in property. I don't understand what you're saying. Maybe you'll say that it's not a problem. Kan, b'shevach hamagia l'ktafayim. Where did Shmuel say that you have to give back the shevach to the lokeach, and that you pay it back in cash? That's talking about where the shevach is already, the corn is as high as an elephant's eye and ready to be harvested, therefore no longer part of the field. So in a chinami, in that case, you'll have to pay him. Mashain King Khan, where did Shmuel say that you don't give it back to the lokeach and he has to go to the seller? That's talking about shevach shein magia l'ktafayim. But that's not true, because ma'asim b'chol yom v'komag b'shmuel afilu b'shevach magia l'ktafayim. As we've seen many times before, we know that Shmuel does collect shevach of all kinds, of even where the shevach is magia l'ktafayim, and he doesn't give it back to the lekuchot. And you're claiming that he does give it back to the lekuchot, but he gives it back in cash. And says the Gemara, lo kasha, ha the masik be kishir aral u'shvacha. Where did Shmuel say that the lokeach does not have a chelek at all in the shevach? That's talking about where the loan is so high that it equals the value not only of the karka of the shevach. Therefore, he collects the whole thing and let the guy go back to the seller to get it back. Whereas where did Rav Nachman quote Shmuel as claiming that he does have to pay? That's talking about the lo masik be shiur ara ushvach. It's talking about he doesn't have a loan against him that would equal the value of the shevach. So says the Mervechi, lo masik shiur ara ushvach. If he doesn't own, he's not owed that much. So there, the Yovle Zizilo Kecho Mesalikle, you're saying over here that he can give money in cash to the buyer, right, who's coming now, Mikayach the borrower. I mean, that's not so simple. If you hold like the Bani Omar, who says that a buyer who has the cash can insist on keeping the property and paying off the loan, which he can then collect his cash back from the seller. So then, if you're telling me that he's nonetheless cannot do that, and the guy has a lien against the character to take it away even where he's about to be paid in cash. Okay, so then this makes sense. Shop. That explains why he can pay him back. He could take the character, pay him back the additional value that he took beyond what was owed him, he pay him back in cash. Because he's got a lien against the character. And the other guy could never get rid of him in cash. But if you hold like the other mandioma, the mandioma, that if he has cash, he could prevent the guy from taking the land at all. And then he can recover his cash from the seller. So then this is absurd. Why is the Baal Chov allowed to take the karka and pay him back in cash? Let the guy say to him, look, if I had cash, I could have gotten you out of the whole thing. So at least don't take the thing and then give me back the cash. That cash is mine. The cash that you owe me is mine. So therefore, you don't have a right to take karka. Can I get that cash? It's a crazy situation if you hold, according to the Mandioma, that if you could be Masalikim with cash, that he should be able to take away the land and I pay you cash? That's absurd. Name Alay, let him tell the lender, that he havile zuzi, avim zakirin le mikula ara. If I had the money, I could have gotten you out of this whole thing. You wouldn't have been able to take a penny of land. Hashta the letli zuzi. So, okay, now I don't have a cash, but you owe me cash. So havli geriva the araba aroi shirishvachoi. So give me whatever small piece of land is worth the value that you're supposed to pay me in cash. Answers the Gemara, Achmaeskinan, Kagon de Shavi in the Alei Apotiki. It's talking about over here that it wasn't a normal lien. It was an apotiki. The Amar Lei, the lender, was told by the borrower, Lo Yelecha Piraon Ela Mizu. Your entire payment comes dafka from this. That's apotekoi. It should be chal entirely on this. Since they made a condition like that, everybody's money cannot be misalik in the dummy, because that was part of the understanding of the original loan, that he gets to keep this karka, and therefore he's viewed as having a kinyan in this karka. So nobody holds in that case that a buyer can be misalik with cash. Zakta Helik Mishnah. Hamekabel sadeh mechaveiro l'shavua echad, b'shva meotzuz, so then ashviyet mina minyan. Somebody now who takes a field as a lease for one Shavua, of course, meaning a Shemitah cycle, a 7-year cycle. And he's paying 700 zuz. So then he does not exclude Shvi'it from the deal. It says through Shvi'it as well. But if Kiblai Menu L'Sheva Shanim B'Sheva Me'od Zuz, if, however, was being paid by the year, 100 zuz, 7 years now for 700 zuz, so not a Shvua, which a Shvua by definition is a Shemitah cycle, so then Ein Shvi'it Min HaMinyan, there you have to give him 7 producing years. Because when the man says Shavua Echad as opposed to Sheva Shanim, even though you cannot be Zoreya during Shemitah, but still the land is usable because you can store things on it, you could put the perot for previous years on it to dry and so on. And since he said it in this way, Shavua, instead of saying for 7 years, it's indicative of his desire to use the land for things other than straight out agriculture and growing. Had he wanted it for agriculture, he would have said 7 years. Sfir Yom. Getting on now to a completely new halacha. Somebody who is hired by the day. He finishes his work in the evening. Gover kol halayla. He collects now the entire night. And if he's not paid by the morning, the hirer is going to be over on an iser lav of lo talin schar sachir. If he's a schir layla, he was hired now to work through the night. He completes his work in the morning. He's gover kol halayla. He now has all the day to collect from, and once the shkia comes and he hasn't been paid, the hirer is going to be over on an isur d'oraita of lo tavo alav hashemesh, that you must not allow the sun to set on him without paying him. Sechir sha'ot, somebody who was hired for a number of hours, either in the day or the night, goveh kol alayla v'chol hayom. He could collect all day and all night. And what exactly this means is quite vague, and we're going to see in the Gemara a understanding of what the Mishnah hints. said here. Schir Shabbat, somebody was hired by the week. Schir Chodesh, or by the month. Or Schir Shana, or by the year. Or Schir Shavua, or by the seven-year cycle. Yatsa Bayom, if the work is finished in a daytime, Kove Kalayom. He collects for his 7 years of work all that day. Yatsa Balayla, Kove Kalalayla, Vicholayom. He collects all that night and the following day. At least that's what it appears to be saying. We're going to see that the Mishnah is more complex than it appears on the surface. Tana Rabbana, Minai L'Schir Yom Shegove Kalalayla. How do we know, as the Gemara, that someone who works the entire day collects his schar during the following evening? Night. You must not allow the schar that was meant to be paid to someone to remain in your possession until the morning. How do we know someone hired at night has the entire day to collect? Pay up his debt now, his hire during that day. And do not allow the sun to set on it. It's got to be paid before sunset. Ask the Gemara, how do you know that it's referring to maybe it's just the opposite? Why not learn the opposite? That a schir yom can collect a schar the whole day. A schir laila can collect all night. How do you know it means the following 12-hour period? No, says the Gemara, that's impossible, because schirut ain't a mishlem et el besof. Since we paskin, as we saw, that the schirut is due at the end of the work, it's not shach to say that if he's a schir yom, that he should be paid all that day, because anach I have to pay him until he finishes the works. What do you say, kol ayur? So it's got to be that the schir laila biyomo, the schir laila is supposed to be paid. Biyomo? Tana Rabbana. Actually, let's take a look at the brayta that darshens the pasuk. Mi mashmashin emar lo talin pulat sachir itcha. If the Torah tells us, do not allow the pulat sachir to stay with you, why does it say ad boker? En yodea she'ad boker. Lina always means ad boker, almost by definition. I mean, we have by kachin, the din of lina. We have by staying over yantiv at night, the din of lina. It always means, mankam lalun is a place to stay overnight. So obviously, when it's lina, it means until the morning. Is that what the word means? So matal medlomar adboker comes to teach me, melamich ein over el adboker rishon bilvat. This comes to teach me that you're only over once. You're only over the first time that you don't pay. And at that point, you've been over the lav. It's not that you continuously, every time you don't pay, you're over on a new lav. So the lav you're over once. Then you have the chiyuv of paying. Fine. Therefore, it says ad boker. So then what happens afterwards? Ask Gemara mikan ve'elech mai. After that first morning. So are you over on anything? Amarav, yes. You're over mishum bal tasha. You're over from the yisr of don't allow it to be put off. Where is there an yisr in the Torah that says don't put it off? Amar Rav Yosef Maikra. What's the pasuk that says that? That's actually a pasuk b'divrei Kabbalah. It's a pasuk in Mishle. Al tomar l'reyacha. Don't tell your friend lech v'shov. Come back again. Umachar atein b'yeshita. So if you have the possibility, yeshitcha, you have the possibility to pay, so then you have to pay. That's what we're calling bal tasheh, and we'll refer to that issue as bal tasheh from this point on.